Start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, roll call. I'm here.
That's all that matters.
On time, by the way, because of my scooter. Looks like we have four in attendance, so we have a quorum, right? Okay. And do we do approval or do we do a
public comment first?
Public comment. Okay, public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the council about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium. If applicable, clearly state your name and address and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the council wishes to extend the length of the presentation, this will be done by chairperson. Does anybody have any public comments? I guess I shouldn't have read it. I should have asked that question first. Probably would have saved time. But we all wanted to know what that said. All right, so approval of minutes for April 29. I don't have minutes. Do I? Oh, it's attached to that. Boy, it's really thin. Any comments, any modifications, anything?
No, I make a motion we approve the minutes from April 29th.
That's a great idea.
I approve.
And I approve. I just want to say I'm nailing this meeting so far. Okay.
So you're making a motion to approve yourself?
I am. I want to approve a plaque for my appearance. Okay, let's move to approval of the agenda for May 27th. Hold, combine, or delete any items for possible action.
I make a motion to approve the meeting from May 27th, 2026.
Aye. All right, moving right on to informational items. So Las Vegas Valley Water District, we are waiting.
All right. Good evening, everyone. Jordan Bucker and Aaron Gamble. With the Water District, the wells were red yesterday. The north well came in at 15 feet below land surface. The south well is pretty much the same, 14.74 feet below land surface. That's just a very slight amount higher than where they were last month, still about a foot and a half lower than where they were in May of last year. We're still at about a 150% average of precipitation for the water year.
Oh, really?
That's of course thanks to all the rain we received from November to February, and obviously it's been pretty darn dry ever since then. But yeah, otherwise the system remains stable. There haven't been any major leaks or whatever, so that's to be brought up. And that concludes our report. If there are any questions,
I guess we don't really have snowpack here, right? Is this where the water comes from? Is it from rainfall or snowpack?
It's both.
Because it just seems like it's really stable for like last winter. We didn't have any snow.
Yeah. You mean the winter of...
Like our drawdown looks really... It seems like fixing the water lines might have really helped because our drawdown seems really slight compared to what we've seen in the past. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, and a lot of it is because we had a really, really good end of 2025.
Okay.
As far as the precipitation goes, and that recharged the aquifer really well. And I think what you're seeing here is more an indication of that.
Of the rainfall.
Than necessarily having fixed the pipes.
Yeah.
But I mean, between fixing the pipes and kind of getting people more aware of controlling their timers and other stuff like that, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it all contributes to protecting the well levels, both an increase in supply and a decrease in demand, for sure.
All right.
Check those irrigation though. Yeah, still.
Yeah.
Drippers that pop off, animals that chew them off, everything
like that. Well, they sure do.
They find the water.
Well, one of our last houses that is an incredible water waster is being remodeled right now, and I think that they're going to put in desert land right over here, the yellow house. That is, I saw the water usage on that one, and it was tremendous. Oh, yeah.
And they're going to put in what?
They're taking out all the grass. Oh, okay. So it has a pool there, too, and the pool leaks. So, yeah, that's gonna save quite a bit.
That's a great-looking landscaping between Chi-Chi's, Larry's, and... Now,
yeah, he's an amazing job.
Those three houses are going to look really nice.
I'm too poor to use that guy. Otherwise, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Metro, not here. BLM. Awesome.
Bones Puff, BLM, Brett Volcania, museum manager. Just a couple things I want to share with you. One is the campground will be closing June 1st for June, July, and August. It'll almost be in September. We start in June 1st. Also, we won't be requiring reservations until October 1st. So if you have a pass, you can just go and enjoy. We will have a dark sky event on Saturday, June 13th at 7:30, 8 o'clock, and we'll have one of the scientists who drives the rover on Mars, give a presentation.
Oh.
Be pretty interesting. The Legacy Trail is on the schedule so far. It's working out pretty well. And it was Safe Red Rock had a motorless warning schedule for mid-July, but they postponed that. They haven't rescheduled it yet. And that's about all I have.
Any questions for BLM? It's going to be a short meeting. All right. How about Blue Diamond Library? Library. I think I said library.
Okay.
It's possible.
Mine is a lot less compact than Boris's. We are in full swing for Summer Challenge. Which is the library district's big initiative for the summer, is to keep the kids out of school reading to help with that summer slide. So, and we've expanded it for adults too, so adults can participate in Summer Challenge as well. We're gonna have, this next week is gonna be hellaciously busy. It's exciting. We'll have John Lewitt, a magician, our right by Red Rock monthly writing group for adults. Kirk Marsh, who is the magic bubble wand guy, will be here. That's our first time. Excited. And we're continuing to do our programming with UNR. The last four Tuesdays will be exploring safety with kids. So it's gonna be fun. On Fridays, most Fridays throughout the summer, we're gonna do a family movie. For most Friday afternoons after we close, and every Thursday we'll do family book bingo, where if you come and participate, everybody gets a free book, and if you win, you can get some little prizes and things like that. And that's all I've got. That big calendar here. any questions?
When's the bubble wand guy gonna be here?
He's gonna be here the 4th.
The 4th.
Thursday next week.
Okay, got that. Okay. I have a granddaughter. I want her to see the bubble wand guy. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right.
Thanks for the calendar.
Absolutely.
Chock full. Okay, we're going to. Do you have a report?
I do not.
Okay then.
Can I add something on there?
Please do.
Okay. I'd like to make a suggestion that we get NDOT involved on the agenda. In walking up and down 160, there's where the big electronic light is there. There's something that says Jamar Pendulum Field Test. and I looked up Jamar Pendulum. It's on the internet, and they take like a lot of information on speed and different things in cars. Yeah. Like if we could get that information on that, and then the light, the proposed light at Fortney and 160, and that's where the road would from the hill. Once they build that, that's where that road is supposed to come down at Fortney and 160, and so there's supposed to be a light there. So let's see if there's any progress on that. I would think that's more NDOT than Clark County, since it's, you know, on 160. And then there was a machine, a drill, on the side about like 2 weeks ago on the north side of 160, and they were drilling, and not deep or anything, and then later on that night, the concrete truck would probably a hole like about this big, okay, and then later on that night, a concrete truck was coming up the road filling up all the holes. So down at the mailbox one day, I saw one residents that lives up on Wounded Horse, and I mentioned something about it. I said, "You know anything about it?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "It's has to do with the eventual widening of State Route 160." So I'm imagining that it's probably a soil test, maybe that they were doing. So if we could get some information out of NDOT, you know, periodically on stuff, what's going on, I think that would be useful. You know, especially when there's like races, bicycle races and stuff like this. And I think right around, what is it, in April, I think they have, if they still have that race that comes from California where all law enforcement, where people are running down there and people are going slow. If they, you know, just so people are aware of what's going on, so if we could have that going on. And then the other thing is, two neighbors called me today, and they go, what's the zoning agenda item tonight? And I go, I go, there isn't anything. And they go, well, we got something in the mail about it. So it turns out they wound up saying that it was tomorrow at Mountain's Edge at their little center there, I think it's 6 o'clock, and it has to do with the nursery on State Route 160, not Cactus Joe's, but the one on 160 by Eagle Ranch Road.
Yeah.
And it has something to do with that, so they're having a neighborhood meeting there tomorrow. So, I mean, I know I'm further than 1,000 or 1,500 feet, whatever, where they mail out those little cards. So, but if anybody's interested, it's tomorrow at 6 o'clock in the Mountain's Edge Visitor Center there. So,
like a land use or?
I don't know. I didn't see the thing. But somebody mentioned that it's might be a switch from their current zoning to agricultural.
Oh. They have a lot of, I mean, live plants. I mean, they plant them directly.
Yeah.
Which, and then so they're not in pots. I mean, most of them are not in pots. Yeah. Maybe that's why. Yeah.
Which my wife said, well, if they're doing this change now, does that mean that they've been operating illegally the whole time? I said, I'm not making that call or whatever. So yeah, I mean, right now they're doing the right thing, so or attempting to do the right thing. So we'll see what happens with it. I'm sure Megan will have a report on it.
Well, it'd be nice to have something ag in Las Vegas.
Well, maybe if it was ag, it changes their tax basis to something more favorable for them.
Yeah, it could be.
Right. Yeah, so we'll, I'm sure it'll do a whole presentation tomorrow and try to get input and stuff like that. So I think that's all I have. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we are planning and zoning, and there is no items on the agenda for planning and zoning. So we are going to go directly into general business. Representatives, from Clark County's Department of Environment and Sustainability will share information about All In Clark County and introduce a related survey for rural communities. All In Clark County is a countywide effort to make our communities more sustainable and resilient in the face of climate change.
I'm Shay Kwasniewski, representative with the county with the All In program. As you stated, it's Environment Sustainability, the department. It's Department of Environment and Sustainability. more people are familiar with air quality. That would be lumped underneath us as well as desert conservation. Most people know Mojave Max, that's underneath us as well. So we've been hitting hard since 2019, and then with 2020, it kind of stalled out everything, so we've been heavy hitting since 2023. Once we kind of got acclimated in Vegas, we were now reaching out to rural communities, which includes you guys, even though you're probably the closest. But our focus is trying to figure out what the residents in each specific community need as far as environmental and sustainability factors go. And that falls under anything if you guys need help. I mean, you guys pretty much have a cleaner community, but if you need help with trash pickups, presentations for schools, if there's a children's program you want to get involved in where we can teach about environmental programs or even have Mojave Max come and teach about the desert conservation, we want to make sure that we kind of integrate in the community, know that we're here as a support for anything you guys need on that factor. And with the survey, I'm pressing that really hard. We've had great response so far. It's to find out which each community is really wanting, because every community has differences. Whether you want us to bring the free tree program out here, which the county does twice a year. We've actually got a couple more this year than we did last year, but we're trying to focus our efforts now on the outlying communities. So if that's something the residents are interested in, especially when they're trying to save on their water bills or they're getting hounded, we actually will give free trees that are in compliance with the drought tolerant species. And they are all full bloom shade trees, fruit trees, stuff that we'll keep providing. So if that's an interest in the community, we'd love to bring that out here. We provide support for any programs you guys do or events that you have at the community. We'd be happy to help. If there's any questions or concerns on environmental sustainability aspects, that's what we're here for. So we just really want to just start introducing ourselves into these communities. And if you guys think of anything that you need help with or have ideas, we'd love to hear them and help you get it in this community. And so I'll be here for questions if you guys think of anything, and I'll have the surveys, and it would be very tremendous help if you guys even spread the word. We do follow up. You'll be getting like a postcard, but it'd be really important to know what you guys want as a community instead of us guessing. So, okay. Thank you. I kept it short and sweet so everybody, you know, can get home on time.
So, I'm sorry. You go. You
is
go.
Is your department a fairly new one, or is this like it used to be called something?
So, they kind of started integrating everything. So, we were just air quality,
That's correct. We kind of
fell underneath that. And then they've rebranded it a couple times within the last 5 years. So, now they finally branded it Department of Environment Sustainability, which now air quality falls under, desert conservation in our program. So, all our environmental specialists, we fall underneath that category. Because it's all kind of, we all work hand in hand together anyway, so we're all lumped in. So we used to just be straight under air quality. Mm-hmm. But our division, as far as us getting out in the environment, it started late 2019, but then everything happened and funding and so forth. So about 2003 is when we kind of started and picked right back up.
No, you mentioned the survey. Was that sent out to them?
No, I have it here. Oh, it's just a QR. Yeah,
so just one number, one.
Yeah, and then what they'll do as well is they'll send to each person. They're going to send a postcard in the mail too, just as a reminder for people that aren't going to know or here.
Sure.
I put flyers up and stuff as well, but it is important. We've gotten great feedback. I think we've gotten in 1,000 so far, just in the communities that I've been to. So it is important, and we do take that into consideration to what your specific community needs. Because I mean, even though I'm out here a lot, I still don't know what the residents face, so.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I encourage everybody to look online at all-in-Clark County. There's a lot of information.
Yes.
And I just have a couple questions, if I might ask them. On all the water storage the banking, mm-hmm. The water banking, like it says here, efforts in Nevada, Arizona, California, and in Lake Mead, the authority has stored more than 2.2 million acre feet of water. Mm-hmm. How do they do that?
Aqueducts, you know, there's stuff that goes underneath ground that people aren't really aware of, so they do store it. You know, they also have their ways of preserving, like, I mean, not that it would take into account this year, but the snowpack, you know, so when they measure out the lake, I mean, generally they can take that snowpack and that's not part of the contract, right? So they do that in efforts to keep it going. And really what people don't know, there's a lot of water underneath Nevada. And I know that just from even in my exploring, but that's how they store it. It's generally underground aqueducts.
And I, whether it was on the All-In or elsewhere, where I was reading where from satellites they can see the aquifers, so somehow they go through the ground and whatever. And it just amazed me that if they're banking water in these aquifers, that it must mean that they're enclosed. Like, in other words, it's not going, you know, in all directions, you know, in
every. Yeah, generally, they've like shut off valves and stuff. That I'm not 100% sure on how they divvy that, but I mean, it's all controlled environment. They probably don't make it privy to a lot of people just for the fact that tampering, and they don't, you know, there's people out there. So a lot of the stuff that they do, a lot of people won't be aware of, just probably for that reason alone. And you don't want people also thinking, oh, well, they have all this water, so we're good. And then you create this problem of people just starting to waste water again. So, you know, we are at a crucial point, and yes, they've done a great job. I mean, the water district is actually one of the top recognized as far as even the recycling and reusing and doing everything. But even though they have all that water stored, we're still at a critical point. And if you tell people that there's all this water, then people are just gonna be like, oh, we're good, you know, and then it becomes a whole issue again. So now you go through the fighting of everybody, the moaning and, oh, we have to cut back and so forth. So if you tell people all this water is there, but really in reality, it's not that much. It is, but it's not. Then people start to get lax on it, when now people are finally, okay, yeah, we need to do something. So if that information doesn't get out there too much, just for people, it gets in their head that they can just waste water and we don't have an issue here. It's an issue. You know, we keep getting drier, you know, our rainfall's not as much. This year alone, our snowpack, I mean, so it is a cause of concern.
And this question, I'm not sure if it's for you guys or so if the wells in Blue Diamond were to run low, or like our well that down on Coca were to, you know, get into a little bit of trouble, would it be possible to bank water in those wells in an emergency type of situation? Now, I realize you'd need to put temporary piping to get to the source to drop it in, and I'm not sure how big the aquifer is up here where you could all of a sudden put.
So I can't speak to your well because that's a state-run well.
Okay.
We don't deal with those much.
Right.
I mean, I know that they are the Blue Diamond well specifically and the aquifer.
Right.
It's a small aquifer, relatively shallow. I think you can speak to the wells. They're fairly shallow.
They're shallow
as well. I mean,
they're leaky too, aren't they?
They're old.
Not a really great container.
I mean, the water, I mean, I don't know if you guys remember when Jim came in.
It goes,
it's like the water, yeah, the water
goes down the hill.
It flows out, and it's like, it gets past that little valley, and it goes from being like 30 feet below, you know, well, right now it's 15 feet below ground surface.
Right.
Yeah, below ground surface. It drops like 600, 700 feet.
Yeah.
So it's like there's like a shelf that's in here that, once it passes that and the bedrock, it just drops. And so the water is constantly moving through.
Yeah. It just kind of puddles up here.
It just, that's where the wells are at. That's happened to be where the water, I mean, there's water right there. And that's what pulls it out. But it's not like it's where it's enclosed. I mean, I think at one of the meetings, somebody brought up like, oh, can't we just kind of dam it up under the ground and bring it up to where you hold a little bit more? That's just not. I mean, water is constantly flowing.
So, I mean, theoretically speaking, is there like extra space in the wells to put extra water? Probably a little bit, but not much to make a huge difference.
Yeah, I guess.
Especially when you compare it to everything that would have to be installed and built to be able to even think about making that happen.
Yeah, I guess you could take it from 15 feet to 5 feet below surface at 10 feet. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Just something that in an emergency situation, and then just pray for rain and a lot of snow and whatever to, you know, for it to. I mean, it's peaked and valleyed, you know, over the years. It's gone down and then it's gone up. And
I mean, like I told this board before, we do have the emergency response plan for when the wells get to critical low levels, and there are a few things we can do that are a whole lot easier than
yeah,
that.
Trucking it is easier than doing
that.
So I would say with Calico and Blue Diamond, we are highly impacted by tourism from the valley. So I would say that any suggestion I would make, it's not necessarily for the residents, but it would be for the enjoyment and education of those that visit our fine communities in the way of signage and just a reminder of using gently, don't run your engines, you know, just things like that. How do you treat donkeys? You know, I mean, it's just, it's, there's a lot of ignorance and, you know, and I see it a lot, you know, people, I don't think it's the speeding, it's more of the stopping. And it's just, it's there, this area is new to them. So I get it. I don't get upset at people that visit Blue Diamond because I was one of them many moons ago when there was bikers and shenanigans going on.
Yeah,
remember? That was
fun. Yep.
But yeah, I would say in Calico, I mean, it's the traffic, it's just, it's kind of one of those use gently, but you can educate with some beautiful signs and about the wildlife, and then this is how you treat the wildlife. You know, don't step on the creosote. Don't, you know, these plants are old plants, and these are, you know,
yeah,
just things like that. Because just right around the apron of Blue Diamond, it's very sensitive, and it's very, and people track over it. And because they think it's just Tule Springs, or they think it's, you know, Sunset Park, or something like that.
And then, so where do you think, so what would be the best suggestion on how to get that education? So having like signs, or what would be the best way to?
I think that'd be great. I mean, our signage here that just talk about mining and our history are very well trafficked.
Okay.
I mean, it's a wonderful, it would be a wonderful thing to even around the county park. That's most of our parking here. And then this is private parking, but it's public use. So I would say that, I mean, it'd be wonderful to have some beautiful signage about Blue Diamond and then a message in there about how to respect it.
And respect, yeah,
I don't know, is Calico like...
I know Calico.
Well, if you're going to do Calico, to me, it's like, you don't put it where the county bulletin board is, because
nobody
really,
reads it.
You know, I have keys to that, and I sometimes change stuff around in there, but... Some of my neighbors look at it, but I don't think anybody from outside the basin ever looks at it. But like, if there was some kind of a display at the Jeans Trailhead and at the Red Springs picnic area, and also at the Craft Mountain parking lot, you know, those are the three places where people, the bulk of people that come to the basin, will go to one of those three.
Okay, so just those main trailheads.
So it's kind of a county interface to BLM.
Yeah.
So BLM's got some wonderful signage, and they do a great job in the visitor center. This is not BLM, right? This is a county. And so having something in the interface before people hike or whatever would be really nice.
Make them think twice before.
Yeah.
I
want people to enjoy our town, too.
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't have a problem with people coming,
no.
You know, at all. The other is, and I don't know how you could work with the county park, but we don't have any trees. So when you said trees, I mean, this park right here, it scorches, and it's a beautiful park, but we really could use some, and they planted a tree that I'm going to die before it's 15 feet high.
It's
the slowest grower, and you don't have to get, huh?
What kind of trees did you know?
I don't know, but it flowers for like 3 minutes, and then the... But I mean, it's a cute little tree, but it's just like, this is not providing any kind of shade or anything like that. So you don't want to impinge on the baseball field or the soccer field, but even around the skate park, you know, you don't mind it in this weather, but as soon as it crosses 100 and it is just, it scorches and the UVs are crazy. And I just think, please don't plant a 5-gallon tree. I mean, in my house, I buy box trees because I don't have long to live, and I want to see a nice tree.
You don't know that. You might live to be, by that time, you'll be 200.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit there and watch a tree kind of like here to there, and then it's over. So if they can do that at that county park, it'd be awesome. We have so many trees in our private park That's why people are so attracted to the private park, because it's like, oh, I want shade.
Are any of these trees, will they grow without water? Or without being
very watered? Little water. So we do in compliance with the water district. So for instance, like, I wish I could remember the tree now. We just had one. We have olive trees. There was one that's like one of the big ones that grows to be like 40 feet.
It's like an ash tree, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. It starts with the C and I cannot remember. It's got the white flowers on it.
Well, because there's no water there, it wouldn't work if you have to water them. But us, you know, this conversation makes me think about where they moved the Red Rock sign to. Mm-hmm. And that area there might really benefit from a little bit of trees.
Like
there.
Mesquite or huh? Like mesquite or?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm trying to think, like, I have volunteer mesquites around my
that's
property.
That's BLM, isn't it?
Yeah, but
that's BLM.
Yeah, I guess it
yeah.
is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, could you guys put some trees in over there?
Poor folks. I mean, you can come see us for trees.
That would be my suggestions. Is,
well, and I think really, I mean, and I don't know, but I mean, these trees are pretty hardy that we get. So even with it not having a watering system, I mean,
it doesn't. I don't think you need a watering system in the park.
I don't think so either.
And most of the trees here, the groundwater is so high,
mm-hmm.
Like the so elm trees and everything, they just like. And there's no way we're watering those elm trees because they're weeds.
Yeah.
And they somehow, their roots go down quickly and find water.
I don't see it. I do not have a green thumb, and I have a couple trees, and they have thrived. And so if they're thriving in the care of me, then they're thriving, but they're very, very little water. Then I would obviously stay away from, like, maybe even the fruit trees that we provide are, again, very little water. But most of them are drought tolerant and they thrive. So I think we can get that handled without that being an issue.
I think it would beautify the park. I guess, I mean, you just have to work with parks and figure that out. But that would be a huge impact. That and, like I said, the informational signage and things like that.
Okay, so awesome. And then do you know approximately like how many trees you think you would want over there? Is it just you want a couple?
Probably 15.
Okay.
I mean, there's not, if you look when you leave and look at that park, it's that there's just a few trees.
Just not enough.
I don't even think there's any on the east side. There's just some trees
by
the school, right?
I came by there tonight and looked. There were people out there, but it's just grass.
Yeah.
No shade on this side, which would.
And that park's old. It's not like it hasn't been around a while.
Yeah, I think it's that really.
Yeah, so I think it's just along by the school is where there's a tree every 40 feet or something like that. So, I mean, you could easily get, I mean, if you put a few trees in there, they'd be lost. People wouldn't even notice.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, perfect.
There was a ton of burros out there this evening.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I had to stop for them.
And just fertilizing the grass.
Yeah, it's good.
All right, so we can move to comments by the general public. Anybody have any comments? Yes.
I have a question for the Red Rock Group and possibly BLM, possibly water, and possibly youth. The library district will be putting on a back-to-school fair. I have, I'm using the county park to give out free school supplies, all that kind of stuff. I was wondering if the Red Rock Committee, the BLM, Water District, or calling from you, would like to have a table, and I can give you each tables if you want, to be at and talk to parents, educate people, whatever you want, hand out things to kids, whatever you want to do. So I'm offering you an invitation if you'd like to come. If you can't, that's totally fine. So I don't know if that just made it complicated.
Is that Blue Diamond Elementary or anybody?
Yes, it's going to be Blue Diamond Elementary, the middle schools, and
so like FESS and or
FACE and or FRACE.
FESS.
Yeah, sorry, FESS and Gutterson.
And Gutterson, yeah, okay.
Would we have to get approval?
August.
If we were going to do it, would we have to get approval from the Division of Administrative Services?
I don't think you could do it yourself.
Yeah, so we'd have to go through Megan and Administrative Services.
It's going to be August 7th, Friday, and it'll be very short because it's hotter than... Anyway, so it'll be very short. It'll be from like noon to 2.
and that'll be very, very short. So we'll...
From noon to when?
Noon to 2. Okay. Noon to 2. So I can give you my card and your email or whatever.
That's after school starts, right?
Before. No. It's the Friday before.
It's the Friday before.
Is it? Oh, I'm in Nye County.
Oh.
That's why. Our kids come early because they're very eager.
Then yes, it's school starts. Yes, so this will be coinciding with the Blue Diamond Meet the Teacher. So the kids will be, you know, meeting the teachers, all that kind of stuff. Most of them already know, but I'm hoping that, you know, the free school supplies. I'm attempting to secure Kona Ice, so we'll see what we can do. But if you have any questions or, you know, if you need to talk later and vote on, I don't know what you all need to do or, you know, if you...
I would probably, I'll make sure that Megan knows because okay. I'm sure she has a lot of connections.
Okay.
To help out.
Cool beans.
For sure.
All right. So that's all I have.
Okay. Anybody else? No? Okay, then our next meeting is July 1st, 2026. We are hereby adjourned.
You travel all to Detroit.
Way to go.
I did my Yeah. 160 every day.
No wonder you're going to test it.
Exactly right.
Now, you mentioned a private park in Blue Diamond. Where is that? Is it open to the public or not?
No, it's private.
Well, you said